open, most likely by Ryan's Panga. Ryan and Christy were gone, but Ryan's Steyr SSG-70 Long Blaster was still tucked safely under the bed. What in dark night had happened to them, JB wondered. What had happened to him that he could sleep through it all? He ran out into the hallway.
Doc! Jack! Dean!
In moments, two of the three friends appeared in the hallway, blasters in hand. However, Jack was nowhere to be found.
What is it? What's going on?
JB stood in the middle of the hallway with Ryan Steyr in his hand, an angry look on his face.
Ryan, Christy, and Mildred, they're gone.
They found Jack a few minutes later. The teen was lying in a bed in one of the other rooms, fast asleep.
Jack! Wake up, Jack!
Jack!
Slowly, Jack's eyes opened. Upon seeing his three friends, he sat straight up and lunged for JB, much to the surprise of the others.
Whoa! Jack, what the hell's going on?
JB, it you?
Of course it's me, Jack! Why didn't you come get me to relieve you at guard duty?
Did get you. Saw you at doorway. Saw you on bed, too.
Now JB was thoroughly confused at the delirious teen's ranting. But he had no time for this now.
Listen up, people. That fruit we were given did have tranks. Mildred got dizzy and passed out, and now she's gone. I'm guessing the same happened with Ryan and Christy, because I can't see them willingly going along with whoever captured them.
But I ate the fruit, too, and I don't feel sick.
Well, maybe not all the fruit was tranked, but that's beside the point. The fact is, they're gone, and I'm responsible, and I can't even remember what happened or how it got like this.
Doc could hear real despair in JB's voice, something he normally never heard from the armorer.
Please calm yourself, John Barrymore. This isn't like you at all. Perhaps that dream you were telling us about has affected you more than you think.
Doc was right. He was the leader now, and no matter what the circumstances behind their friends' abductions, he had to maintain a level head, or he would lose the morale of his people. It was obvious something had happened to him and Jack that disabled them from carrying out their sentry duties, but now was not the time to dwell on the particulars. He'd have more than enough time to think about it while they tried to locate Ryan and the women. But that didn't mean he had to like the situation. And deep down, although he wasn't going to admit it now, he knew that Doc was correct in his assessment. That damn dream had gotten to him.
Okay, people. Let's start by searching Ryan and Christy's room.
Once the companions had left the room to begin the search for their missing cohorts, the Skydark spawn moved from the shadows where she had been hiding and analyzed the situation. For the first time in 100 years, she sensed the activation of the escape redoubt that had been used only once before by her. Once she had detected the emerging outlanders, she had followed them in the guise of one of the roving bands of muties in the area until they had made contact with the guards at Fox Farm. Based on the information she had absorbed from Clarissa, she knew the danger inherent at Fox Farm and stayed away while the outlanders conversed with the head guard. She had caught up with the strangers again only when they had decided to rest in this old hotel. Programmed to absorb information from living beings by touch and perform potential threat analysis, she wasn't able to get close enough to any of the strangers until they had separated into small groups of two for their rest periods. She computed that that point would be the most ideal time to conduct her analysis, since a side effect of the information gathering usually resulted in temporary unconsciousness of the individual being scanned. If they were already asleep, the effects would go unnoticed. However, her plans had changed abruptly in an instant. Choosing one of the male-female pairs to analyze first, she entered their room unnoticed and hid in the bathroom. The female had entered not long after to perform a pre-sleep ritual. A visual inspection confirmed that the woman was what her data processors referred to as an African American, and processed her speech as coming from the language English. So the outlanders had come from the Deathlands, but she didn't sense any of the normal overt hostilities such as the scans from the denizens of Fox Farm. The female she had been observing had suddenly keeled over in obvious pain and gone unconscious for an unknown reason. When the male tried to help her, the Skydark spawn had begun to sense another presence in the building. This one, as she had feared, was undoubtedly hostile. The result was that she had to show herself to the male prematurely, still in the guise of the muti. And when she extracted the information from him as her programming dictated, he fell unconscious just as the woman mysteriously had. Before the new information was fully processed, one of the man's companions had approached, perhaps hearing the disturbance. She also knew that the other invaders were approaching as well, and that she had to disguise herself from them. She quickly overpowered the other outlander and hid him safely away in another room. However, by the time she returned, the hostile forces had already found the unconscious couple and made off with the female. Other forces in the building had taken two more of the strangers, and the Skydark spawn was too late to help them as well. It was only after the information was processed from the two men she scanned that the full implication of what she had done was revealed. Those two men, designated as JB and Jack, happened to be the sentries the Outlanders had relied on to alert the rest of them to any danger, and she had unwittingly neutralized them. Now, half of their group had been captured by the forces of Fox Farm, and it was all her fault. The sec man pushed Ryan hard from behind.
Get in the wag!
The one-eyed man's step quickened, but he didn't stumble. He wouldn't give the Stoops the satisfaction. They'd butted him with their blasters, kicked him with their boots, and punched him countless times, but he hadn't fallen. It was partly pride on Ryan's part, but also a matter of survival. If he had been unable to carry on, they probably would have chilled him on the spot rather than drag him all the way back to the farm. If he could hold out long enough, he might get the opportunity to repay them for their kindness. Ryan still didn't understand how they'd managed to capture him so easily. He was usually a light sleeper and should have awakened at the slightest bit of trouble. Instead, he was tired and slow-footed and hadn't even noticed Christy was gone. If he hadn't been so groggy, he might have been able to chill the second sec man as he'd done the first, but his arms and legs seemed so heavy, he was lucky to get just one of them. It must have been that fire-blasted fruit, as he had earlier suspected. But what about JB? These sec men had been able to sneak into their rooms and take them away on the armorer's watch, and JB hadn't eaten any of the fruit. Either these sec men were something special, and Ryan hadn't seen any evidence to indicate that, or the same thing that had slowed him had slowed JB as well. Judging by the way they handled themselves and the way they treated him so far, Ryan could only assume it was the latter. It still didn't answer the question of how JB had gotten drugged. Hopefully, he'd be able to see his old friend again to ask him. The WAG was an old double-axle transport with a flatbed in back, outfitted with wooden benches to sit on. Ryan had trouble climbing onto the back of the WAG, but there was no shortage of sec men willing to lend him a hand. They eagerly grabbed him and threw him into the back of the WAG, his head slamming into one of the wooden benches.
Ryan!
Ryan opened his eye, and there was the Titian-haired beauty on her knees and leaning over him, with her hands tied behind her back. He checked to see if she'd been hurt in any way, but she looked to be all right. That was good for the sec men, because if there'd been a scratch on her, there would be even more hell to pay.
Are you all right?
Ryan nodded.
You don't look all right.
Mildred came to Ryan's side and leaned awkwardly over him, her hands bound behind her as well. Ryan tried to say something, forgetting his mouth was still covered with tape. Mildred turned and wriggled her fingers. Ryan moved closer so that the edge of the tape touched Mildred's hand. A few moments later, she had a firm grip on the corner of the tape. Ryan rolled away from her, and the tape tore away from his face, taking hair and several patches of skin with it. There was some pain, but at least now he could take deeper breaths and talk. Ryan got up from the floor of the WAG and took a seat on the bench.
Are you too hurt?
Not really. They've handled both of us with kid gloves. Real gentle-like, which makes me a bit nervous.
Did they get anyone else?
No, just the three of us in this WAG.
Why do you think they want us three?
Probably to work the orchards. Those workers we saw on the farm must have been slaves.
I don't know, lover. From the way the sec men were looking at us, I don't think they went to the trouble of capturing us just so we could work in some fields.
Ryan didn't like the thoughts that were going through his mind from Christie's comment.
It's a different kind of slavery for women, I'd guess.
Just then, Carterer appeared at the back of the WAG.
Shut your trap, Cyclops, and keep it shut till we get to the farm. Next time you talk, it'll be when you're answering Baron Fox's questions.
Ryan just stared at the man, his gaze never wavering. The sec man eventually grew tired of the little stare down, grunted, and looked away. The WAG started to move. JB, Doc, Jack, and Dean inspected Ryan's room.
When I woke up, Mildred was gone. I immediately came in here, and they were gone, too.
Doc inspected the room a bit more closely than the others.
Ah, a puzzle worthy of the sleuth of Baker Street.
Who?
Holmes, young Master Corder. Sherlock Holmes.
Dean just looked at Doc strangely, as did Jack.